Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight, we talk about a concern that many of us have as our parents and grandparents grow older. We notice that sometimes their memory slips, or sometimes they remember us and sometimes they don't. How do we deal lovingly with aging parents, grandparents, or spouses who are dealing with Alzheimer's or other dementia or memory loss problems? My guest this evening is Laura Wayman. She's a dedicated gerontologist specializing in helping people to make meaningful connections with the persons in their lives who have been diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer or memory loss. Tonight, we discuss a loving approach to dementia care, which happens to be the title of Laura Wayman's new book, which is A Loving Approach to Dementia Care. It is a pleasure to welcome Laura Wayman to WDIY and to help us take charge of our lives. Laura Wayman, how did you become interested in this whole field of dementia?
Well, thank you, Ellie. I'd like to start with a story, and the story is about a lady named Peggy. When she was 17 years old, she was very shy, and her girlfriends asked her to go to a square dance so that she could meet some new people. She stepped into the Grange Hall of their little town at the monthly square dance, and she took one look at the brand new square dance caller who was there. His name was Jack, and she turned to her girlfriends and said, "Oh my gosh, that man's so handsome, I'm going to marry that man." And she walked up and introduced herself. Later on, during the evening, Jack asked Peggy out on a date. Throughout the next year, they were found to be true soulmates, and they dated and got to know each other, fell madly in love, and the day that Peggy turned 18, they eloped. They had a wonderful life together. They raised 5 children of their own, and during that time, Peggy began to take in foster children, especially foster children who were physically challenged that no one else could care for as well as she did. She raised over 20 foster children throughout her home, as well as raising her 5 children. But during that time, Jack and Peggy began to talk about what they wanted to do in retirement. They wanted to sell their home when the kids were all out of the house, buy an RV, and travel. Fate was kind. It allowed them that opportunity when Jack was able to retire and the children were grown and out of the house with families of their own. And they began to travel. For 15 years, they enjoyed that lifestyle, and then Jack's health began to fail. He had macular degeneration, and he also started showing the signs and symptoms of dementia. Peggy immediately took him to their physician, and he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Their entire life changed. She set up a wonderful household in a small town next to some friends of theirs. They sold their RV, and she began that long, arduous journey of being a caregiver 24/7. During that time, the family began to hear some calls from her that were a bit distressing. She was challenged by that role. Caring for someone with dementia is the hardest caregiver role you will ever take on. And she began to talk about how he was struggling. She was struggling with his incontinence, and all day long it was cleaning up bodily fluids, and he was wandering, and he began to not even recognize her. Then one night, they were alone in the home after they had lived there for about a year, and she began to really talk about how difficult this was. They sat down to dinner. They were once again alone in the home, and Peggy suffered a massive heart attack. Now, Jack's dementia was so far advanced by then, he didn't realize she needed assistance. He eventually went over next door, knocked on the door, and asked the neighbors for help. By the time they got to Peggy, she was gone, Ellie. Now, Peggy was my mother, and it is how I realized the importance of helping that caregiver, because 68% of the time they get sick and pass away first, because this is primarily the most stressful situation they will ever experience.
I'm so glad you told us that story, Laura, because most of us want to take care of our loved ones, our spouses, our parents, and very often we neglect to ask for help. And Mom, who was so able and caring, neglected to ask for help. And how do we get involved in that, that we don't ask for help? I know I took care of my dad for 4 years, and I was traveling to New York City from Pennsylvania. It began like once a week, then twice a week, and then every weekend. And I have four children, grown children, and they said to me, "Mom, we're here. We're willing to help." And then I did, but I had to find that my own health was also diminishing, and I had to resort to help of having them be there to help me, but it was good that they were there.
Absolutely. We do. We're that take-charge personality like you, Ellie, and we just jump in and we do whatever we can, and we don't realize the stress that that puts on us physically and emotionally, and we tend to just get it done. That's how you are, even with caring for your own children, like you said. You just get it done, and you don't realize how challenged you are. But it honestly takes a village to care for someone with dementia, and you need to build your village to ask for help and then allow people to help you.
And the one thing is to take care of ourselves and allow people in, and the other is to understand the nature of dementia, which we really don't. And most of us withdraw, or we become irritable, or we become confused, because we simply don't understand the nature of dementia. And I will give you an example. A friend of mine traveled to, again, New York City to visit her mother, who also had dementia. And she came to the hospital in New York City after traveling about 2.5 hours. And her mother looked at her politely with a big smile. And she said, "Oh, by the way, do you know my daughter?" And there her daughter was sitting in front of her. She had just traveled all this while. And
then
she began.
Painful.
It is painful, but and she said she didn't say, "Mom, it's your daughter." She did something that you recommend in your book. She said, "Mom," she said, "tell me about your daughter." And she got the idea from Mom, who began to tell her about her daughter, whom she loved very much, because she talked about her daughter with a smile.
And, oh, that's wonderful.
And although she was not able to recognize her daughter right in front of her. Her daughter, we'll call her Carol, got the idea that her mother really loved the daughter that she was talking about, which was her. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And my guest this evening is Laura Wayman, author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care. She is a trainer, certified gerontologist, and she has written a remarkable book that each of us need to read if we are dealing with dementia or Alzheimer's problems. Tell me, Laura, you know, one of the things is family, but the other thing is the professional staff.
Absolutely. I began to learn early on when I started training family caregivers and in many different settings that often there is this denial of a need for asking for help like we just talked about, but also there's this huge learning curve for them to begin to understand that this person now exists in a different reality, just like you talked about with Carol and her mother, and it's a change in perception in the approach that we must take with that person with dementia, but often their needs accelerate to a point where they must ask for professional assistance, and they need to know that's part of the job description of caregiving. And like you've talked about, there needs to be an understanding that dementia truly causes physical destruction to the brain, and that person's brain is no longer functioning the same way, and that there is a physical cause, and it's not just that we need to feel that mental health stigma that we can't talk about that grandma is acting crazy, but that there's a physical reason why she's acting different and to access help for that. And then when I started reaching out into the professional community, I realized they also needed that education about the way that they approach the care, and especially the medical community. There was a huge gap of knowledge between how to care for someone with dementia and how to help that family caregiver care for somebody with dementia, and the medical community and their approach.
Well, I believe you give us a story about Vada, who was, I believe she was in a facility, Laura, correct me if I'm wrong, but she was very finicky, she was disturbing, she had a lot of disturbing behaviors, and sometimes the staff, you know, would try to help her to calm down, but she had a story to tell. Could you tell us the story of Vada?
Absolutely. I actually met her in my reminiscence group when I was getting my gerontology degree. And the way the group was set up is that we would bring those in this particular skilled nursing community, we would bring them down to a common area and have a topic of discussion so that we could connect with them emotionally. So we would have a topic of the week, you know, maybe it was weddings or World War One or World War Two or, you know, the military or parenting, something that they could pull the memories and the feelings attached to those memories into the conversation and just share with us a part of them individually. One day we had the topic of birthdays, and we were asking about how they could share their favorite way they celebrated birthdays. And Veda began to tell us the story of when she was very young. Now, Veda in the past would not take part in any of these discussions. She was very angry, and she would have emotional outbursts and say, "I want to go back to my room." But this particular time, she heard this, and she related it to a very strong situation with strong emotions. She began to tell us once again about her 8th birthday. Now, Veda lived very far out in the country. She was very isolated because she was an only child. And her mom, I believe, probably realized that she needed some socialization. So for her 8th birthday, her mom decided they were going to gather all of the resources because they were a very poor family and give Veda a wonderful 8th birthday party. And they planned and they baked and they had her father take invitations out to all the children across the county, and they were going to have this huge party. And Veda was so excited, and she woke up on the day of her birthday, and there was a huge snowstorm. It was a blizzard, and she pressed her little nose against that window, and she began to cry because she knew that no one was going to come. And when she was telling us the story, you could see that little face crying because she kept saying, "I'm so alone. I'm so alone. Please don't let me die alone." And we gathered around Veda, and she pulled from her past those absolutely wrenching feelings of being alone. And now she was in that situation again because her family was gone, and she was confused and having a difficult time putting all the dots in place. And so the next class, we brought her a big white teddy bear, and we wrote on the paws, "We love you, Veda. We're here for you." Now, Veda was terminally ill, and she was on hospice already. She was facing this stepping over to the other side, passing away, and yet she didn't want to do it alone. So she took that bear in her arms, and I get so emotional when I tell this story, Ellie, because she passed away 3 days later holding that bear in her arms with a smile on her face. We touched her and gave her resolve to that horrible conflict that she had carried all her life. And then when she was expressing it and we touched her in her dementia, we were able to let her vent those feelings and have some peace. And when you give that gift and receive that gift back with someone with dementia, it's the most amazing moment, and you see the purpose and fulfillment in the caregiving journey.
Thank you so much for that wonderful story. And we're going to hear more about caring for dementia in a loving approach when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Cedar Crest College School of Adult and Graduate Education, offering graduate programs and professional certificates to further your education and strengthen your resume. Learn more at sage.cedarcrest.edu.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening, we're talking with Laura Wayman, author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care. She is a trainer and certified gerontologist in the area of aging problems, and she has written a remarkable book called A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, and something that is very much needed. Laura, you also have a website, don't you?
I do. I have a website. It's www.laurawayman.com.
And how can we get the book? Is it on sale in stores, or do we have to order it at Amazon? Or
it is on sale in stores across the country. It's a bestseller, I'm proud to say, on Amazon.com. And you can also get it through the publisher, Johns Hopkins University Press.
Now, we were talking about this this woman, Vada, in the first part. That was a beautiful story. She was 101 years old, and you gave, as a result of the way she was treated and had an opportunity to talk about the painful time in her past, it gave her permission to let go and to move to the other side. And I thought that was a beautiful, moving story. Tell us, you mentioned in the book, I believe, your grandfather who had difficulty. And this is something that many times people on the staff of a nursing care home or a hospital find difficult, because people on the professional side are dealing with regiments, and you have to have a bath at this time, you have to do this at this time, and they're under their own responsibilities that they have to fulfill. So tell us about your grandfather and his difficulty with bathing.
Well, my grandfather lived in a little small cabin in the mountains of Colorado, and so he did not have running water. He had a pump. So when he took a bath, a normal grooming activity of daily living, he took a bath once a week, and that was on Saturday night, and he had to heat the water and fill up his beautiful clawfoot tub in this little cabin. When I would visit with him, that was exactly the same regimen that we would do. On Saturday night, we all lined up, all five of us children and whatever foster children were with us, and the older kids got to go first. So they would get the warm water, the clean water, and the younger ones, and I was the youngest, by the way, we got the colder, dirty water. Now, when we approach someone who is living in past memories and feelings and has dementia, that reality is that they exist in those past memories and feelings, and we approach them and say, would you like to take your shower now, or I'm here to give you your shower, and that means nothing to them. And actually, what it is frightening, because they can't process that information. It's not familiar. So what I train the caregivers to do is to make that task familiar to their past. So approach them with, it's time to take your bath. It's bath night. Let's go get in the bath before the water is cold and dirty. Let's go get in there when it's comfortable. And then we provide them with a familiar shower experience, very familiar to the bathing experience. For example, we have them sit, which is safer anyway, and we immediately put their feet in a little tub of warm water so that their feet are soaking, and that feels like a bath, you know, that warm water on your feet. That's relaxing. And often there is this challenge that generation is very modest, and so a stranger to undress them is frightening. So I even tell the caregivers to just start with, if they have light cotton pajamas, have them sitting and start with washing their feet, and then, whoops, your pajamas are now wet. Let me take them off. Now, it would feel much more comfortable to you, Ellie, if I were helping you with the bath, if you were not sitting there completely exposed to a stranger, but then it would be feel comfortable if I said, oh, we've got your these clothes wet, let me take them off. That would feel comfortable because that's what you do with wet clothes, right?
Right.
So you just take it a step at a time and keep it in as familiar as possible. And at any time you are approaching someone with dementia and needing to help them, you remember this mantra. You can never win an argument with someone with dementia. So you don't argue with them that, you know, it's time, I have to get this done so that I can get to my next client, because you're arguing with feelings from their past, and it frightens them.
This is a very important point, this last point. That is, what you want people to understand is that people with dementia are not able to communicate necessarily in the present because they are living in the past. And the task of the caregiver and the professional is to find that link in the past that relates to their current present. That's
exactly.
Number one. And number two, that we have to be careful of our feelings, because although the person with dementia, you point out, is not able to communicate, they respond to our feelings. So if we become irritated or impatient or in any way negative, that impacts on the person with dementia.
Absolutely. They compensate for loss of ability to understand the spoken word. And they begin to be much more intuitive, because we as human beings, we compensate with such wonder. It's just amazing how we can compensate when we have loss of brain function. We find other ways to compensate and still exist. And so as long as we understand that, we need to let them guide us in their dementia wonderland, which is a very different reality.
So we have to be open to exploring their wonderland, and not to think we can convert them back to where we are in the present.
Exactly. Their brain is broken and doesn't function the same. And so we need to learn how to reach them on a very different level and allow them to be our teacher, and we become the student. It's very interesting, and it's actually fascinating. As horrific as it is, it's fascinating to me how these marvelous human beings compensate and exist and can have a meaningful quality life, but we have to allow them to have it in a very different way.
Can you give us another example of entering into a person's own life, where they're at, and helping them to connect with something that we have to do? You have many examples in the book. I was particularly taken with Susan, who was a young woman in her 40s, and she was taking on the responsibility of caring for her mother, and she wasn't really able to almost let go. Can you talk a little bit about Susan?
Yeah, Susan is another example of how caregivers often feel guilty when they ask for help. But Susan had an entirely different life that, because she was young, she had to allow other people and family to help her. Often I see caregivers, they say, oh, no, I'll do it, very much like my mother. But they must swallow and allow people to help them and realize that the relationship has to change, because the more they allow, someone like Susan allows someone to help with the caregiving tasks, the more opportunity it gives Susan to be the daughter again.
Now, for the listening audience, I just want to point out that Susan was a professional person. She had just gotten the opportunity for a raise and had to negotiate with in-home caregivers. And what she had to learn with the in-home caregivers and how to relate to her mother so that she could perform her own duties on a professional level and still succeed. Can you give us an example about that?
Exactly what you're saying, and Susan had to learn that there is this balancing act, but once again, when she was the caregiver, that is an all-encompassing role if you take that on by yourself, and so she had to teach the caregivers to step in and be the caregiver when she needed that, but also teach the caregivers there were times when Susan needed to have the opportunity to spend time with her her dad. So, what she negotiated with those caregivers was, you know, if you help me with the ironing and fixing dinner at that time, when I come home, instead of having to fix dinner and then spend time with my dad, you can take those caregiver roles away from me, and I can sit and play cards with my dad or reminisce with him, which gives me the opportunity, once again, to be the daughter. And that's okay. That's part of the job of being a caregiver, is spreading that load so that you can still have time for that meaningful connection.
What Susan had to learn was what her real needs were, so that she could be still relate to her father and have time and to negotiate with the caregivers. Now we just have a little bit of time left. How can people? Let's talk about your website again. Give us your website.
It's www.laurawayman.com.
Go ahead.
You can email me at help@laurawayman.com at any time if you have questions or if you need a little support, if you need some more understanding about dementia. I get wonderful, meaningful messages from people all over the world, actually, who are dealing with this, and I learn from them as well.
And I want to let people know that if you are listening to the broadcast and know some people who might like to hear it or would like to rehear it, there is going to be a podcast within the week, and all you have to do is go to www.wdiy.org and press listen and find the podcast. And I want to thank you so much, Laura Wayman, for helping us to deal lovingly with those people in our lives who are dealing with dementia and other memory loss. For each day, caregivers patiently and devotedly do hundreds of little things without training, but with much love, to meet the challenges of dementia. You have helped us to take charge of our lives by transforming the caregiving process from a burden into a fulfilling journey. You have given us the tools for connecting with people who have dementia. Your book, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, is a special guide filled with love, respect, creativity, and kindness. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.